morning. Hey, I want to highlight some family today in a different way than normal. Last week we celebrated the Lord together just as we did this morning in worship. We get to celebrate Him every Sunday. That's one reason we come together. And then we also had some family members here who shared some of the things they're doing. Tim and Joe shared, and so we got to hear about some of you, and we'll continue to do those, what we call Take Action Sundays. But I'd also like to share this Sunday about some family that you haven't met yet, that aren't here with us in the room, but you will meet them. They are believers around the world, and they are believers who have gone before us or already in heaven. Do you realize that we have hundreds of thousands, millions of fellow believers who are around the world right now, and many who have gone on before us? They're in heaven. They're, I believe they're watching in some way. I think they're part of that great cloud of witnesses, and that we're gonna meet them. I think part of eternity is meeting all of those who have gone on before us. Think about that. We have a lot of family to meet, a lot of family to meet, and to hear stories, and to get to thank them for what they've done that helped us get to where we are, because we all are those products of people who were probably praying, who were giving, who were laying their lives down to make sure that we would have the scriptures passed on to the next generation. There's so many things, the layers are innumerable, of people who have made it possible for us to worship, to know Him, to be here today, actually. And so I want to actually talk this Sunday for a few minutes about those who are like us or around the world, but who are persecuted right now, the persecuted believers. And it might seem strange, why do you want to talk about that on a Sunday? We got a lot of other things to talk about, and we do. And we do talk about a lot of other things here, but I think every once in a while, it is healthy for us to think larger than ourselves and our world that we are in, and to think globally, to think the body of Christ around the world, because really, genuinely, we are part of the body of Christ, and there's just one. There's one body, and it is around the world. And so those who have grown up in different ways that we've grown up, but who know Him, they are scattered all across the planet in all of these 200 plus nations that are in our world, and many of them are going through things that we cannot even imagine. And so it's, I think, important for us to remember and to pray for them, to give toward them. We're gonna talk about a couple of those ways here in just a little bit, but it's important for me to be aware, it's for us to be aware of the rest of the body and to pray for them. I think the Bible talks about that, to think about them so that it's not just our world. And I found for myself that when the things in life, the daily battles that you and I have, we all have battles, we all have struggles, we all have financial pressure. There's all those things that can, and frustrations from people not doing what they should be doing, you know, all those things. But when, if they kind of close around us and take our attention too much, then we miss out on a huge portion of why we're here. We can get distracted, and our focus can get off of what we are here for, to live for Him, to worship Him, to take action in Him, to shine and be light, and to use these powers He's given us to help change the world. And some of that change comes through prayer, comes through intercession, it comes through requesting. And some of those requests are to be for those who are our family members here, but also around the world, to be thinking about that. And in our country, I was amazed when I first lived overseas. I lived in Asia for 2 years, and I was amazed at the people that I got to know who were believers, and some of them became my very best friends, how they knew so much about America and the rest of the world. But I found that most Americans don't know a lot about other nations. We tend to be, though we are very generous and very loving people and adventurous, and we love freedom, and I mean, we've touched the nations, honestly. But many times we cannot know where, I mean, you can say a country, the country I lived in for 2 years, Sri Lanka, I don't know that I had spent a moment thinking about it before I moved there. And so I had a lot to learn. And I think part of being a follower of Jesus is loving the things that he loves. Right? Where as we follow him, his heart gets put in our heart. The things that he's thinking about, the things that he's focused on, the things that he wants to have happen, that comes into our heart. And we begin thinking about those things. We begin praying with him for the things that he's thinking about. And I can tell you one thing he's thinking about. It's about his body that's everywhere else as well as here. It's his body across the whole planet that he died for. Those people who have the same faith, they have the same heart, they are living for him with the same love that you and I have, but they're in different conditions. So I want to talk just a bit about that today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 says, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There's something of a blessing, actually, for those already who are being persecuted right now. And Jesus stated that there would be a couple of things that are certain for those who follow him, that some would be persecuted, that tribulation comes, that difficulties come, and they'll be persecuted for righteousness and be persecuted for loving and following Jesus, just for those two things. Just by knowing him, by saying his name, by believing in him, there'll be persecution that comes just because of that. And it is and has come around the world. I was sent to a nation for a month that was a closed nation to the gospel. And I was working for the government at the time. And so I wasn't going as a Christian, I was going as a government employee. And the only place that we could gather to sing like we were just doing this morning was on the embassy compound of the Dutch embassy. And so the Christian Westerners that were there serving like I was within the diplomatic corps, we all gathered, all these different denominations, Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and non-denominational, everything. We gathered at the Dutch embassy and we shared each Sunday. Someone else did the worship, someone else spoke, and it was one body. I looked around, I think about it right now. And I've never had that feeling because I saw people of every kind of faith in Christ together, worshiping together. There was a unity I've never seen before like that because we were forced to, actually. Given the freedom, we all would have met separately. Right? But in that moment, we all met together, and it was a beautiful thing. And I could see for a moment just God's heart for all of us, you know, all of us together. John 15, verse 18 says, this is Jesus, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you." We're supposed to take comfort in that one, right? "If you were of the world would love its own." The world loves its own. Most of the time. "But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." Because he chose you out of the world hates you. And so we should be okay with the world hating us, but we should be out of love praying for those whom the world hates and for the world, because they need him too. They're all pre-Christians, right? If we saw people that way, that's a great way to look at people. William Barclay said, "Jesus promised his disciples three things: that they would be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble." And in constant trouble. When we follow him, there will be troubles because it will upset people. Our love will upset people. Our righteousness will upset people. Our belief in Jesus, and there is a way and not multiple 8 billion different ways, that upsets people. When there is some sort of standard of righteousness and moral living, that really upsets people. No one wants to hear that in the world. They don't want to hear there really is a right way, that there is a God, all of those things. But persecution, here's some of the persecution. Here's what persecution is not for us in our world. It's not someone saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas to you. Right? It's not getting a solid red cup at Starbucks. That is not persecution. Okay, that's part of the weird things in our culture. And maybe a strength, but you know, you cannot sit, when we meet these real people who have been persecuted in heaven later, let's not bring those up. You don't want to bring any of that up. You know, he refused to say Merry Christmas to me. That is, you don't want to even talk about that. That's not on the scale, all right? Here's some authentic, genuine persecution I want you guys to know about. As hard as it is, it's good for us to recognize this. You know, every month, this was from 2017, last year. Every month, 322 Christians were killed for their faith every month. That was the average that we know of. 322. That's around how many people are in this room right now? Every month. 214 churches and Christian properties were destroyed every month. 214 churches and Christian properties destroyed. 722 forms of violence committed against Christians each month. That was last year. In some of the countries where this happens the most, North Korea, Iraq, Eritrea, Afghanistan, Syria, Somalia, Sudan, Iran, Libya, Pakistan, which if you're even, it was even in non-Christian news this week, Asia Bibi, did you remember, I don't know if you saw that story about her, this Christian woman in Pakistan, mother of five, she was told to go give some water to a Muslim person, and on the way she took a sip before she handed it to the Muslim person, and someone saw her, so they arrested her, charged her with blasphemy against Muhammad, and sentenced her to death by hanging. So she was in prison for 8 years, and this week she was released. So the prime minister, really in a good move, released her. Now there's all kind of riots from people furious that she would be released. They wanted to see her hang for taking a sip of water. I mean, that's the craziness that is going on in the world against believers in Jesus just by being a Christian. They're the greatest persecuted group of people on the planet are believers, you like you and I. And Jesus said it was going to be that way, right? But we get to stand with them, not only with our voices and bringing light to these kind of things, but even more so through our prayers, even more so through giving and going and touching and helping. You know what the top three reasons for persecution of believers in the world? It's from Islamic extremism is the number one. 40 out of the top 50 countries where there's persecution is because of Islamic extremism. Dictatorial paranoia, which is North Korea. And organized corruption, such as happens in Colombia, Mexico. In the countries where it's the worst, number five, Afghanistan, four, Syria, Iraq, Somalia, and for the 13th year in a row, North Korea is number one for persecution. You realize this, there are estimated 70,000 believers in Jesus that are in their prison camps. 70,000 believers in North Korean prison camps. Do you know that in North Korea, if you get caught with a Bible, not only do you go to prison, one of those prison camps, but for the next three generations can go to prison because you had a Bible. That's a reality right now on the other side of the planet. And then when you read the stories of these people, whew, what they have to do to survive, catching lizards and mice and the frog that might come along to eat, to survive. It's horrific. And I'm so thankful there seems to be some movement of a softening with their leader right now, and some changes. Let's keep praying that there'll be greater change, and that control would stop, and that the believers would be free. Let me read that scripture again. They put up there at the end, 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. There's something in our heart that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to have, of a care, of a concern, of a prayer, and a heart for people who are suffering in other places. I met a guy, unusual man, Christian, believer, and I went to his house one day, and he had scriptures plastered all over his house. And he showed me throughout his tiny, tiny home, and in his bedroom, he had no bed. He had a sleeping bag on the floor with a little, very thin mat. And I asked him where his bed was, and he said that when he was a little boy, the Holy Spirit put on his heart to pray for the nations and for those who are suffering around the world. So he asked his parents to take his bed away so that as he slept each night and as he lied on the floor, that he would think of those who are also laying on the floor around the world and begin to pray for them. I thought, oh my goodness. I never heard of anything like that. That was his way to, I'm not saying everybody should do that, but that was his way to stay connected with praying for other people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, pray for us, this is Paul requesting, that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. So he's praying, what he's asking, would you pray for us, our escape from prison? Pray that this word of God would expand rapidly. That was Paul's request. You remember when Peter was thrown in prison? Do you remember what happened? There were some believers who got together in a house and they started praying for him. Next thing you know, an angel shows up and gets Peter out of prison, right? I have to believe that that had to do with these believers who were praying for Peter while he was there. Our prayers have power. Prayers can help. We were talking several weeks ago about how God is waiting for us to partner with him by praying in one sense. It's going oftentimes, doing, saying, speaking, doing several things, but it's also by praying. We're partnering with him to do what he wants to do to help other people. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body, since you're in this worldwide one body of Christ, remember them as though in prison with them. As though in prison with them. Those who are ill-treated. That's a strong one. And then, of course, very famous portion of what Jesus said, Matthew 25, verse 35. He said, for I was hungry. Remember, this is where he does the separation after he returns. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And you remember they said, when did we see you doing, when were you doing all these things? And he said in verse 40, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, other believers, any believer around the planet that we serve and help, give water to, give food to, give clothing to, visit in prison, pray for them. He says this, even the least of them, you did it to me. That is powerful. We serve Jesus. We love him by loving other people. It's a theme throughout his life and what he said. But as we are praying for, we are loving on and serving him. We're doing to him as we are praying for others. Incredible how Jesus, so, because it's his body, it's his, and so he feels everything that everyone feels that knows him, that's on the earth. It's pretty incredible what we get to be involved with and to help. So we are so privileged. I was in Richmond, Virginia this morning, early. I left at 6 to be here. And as I was driving, I was just looking at this incredible road that there were, who knows how many years ago, people labored to pave so that I could drive a little over the speed limit all the way here. And thankful that it is so smooth. And as I'm watching lakes on each side and trees and so many things, I can listen to music. I was worshiping for 3 hours today on the way here. And that we have those privileges we have are off the charts. We have so much privilege. And I don't think we're supposed to feel bad about it at all. We should be very thankful, though. Lord, thank you for all that we have. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for this country. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for worship music. Thank you, God, for your spirit that lives inside of me. But now that I have all these freedoms, let me leverage what I have to pray for, to take action, to move, to help, to give, to sow, to love, to pray, to take a moment and to pray for those in other countries. I met a man, he's a friend, his name's Reuven. And he talked about, as he shared his story about, he's a Jew, and as he went through the military and all these things, he lived a life that wasn't right, but he got saved. And after he got saved, he met this woman, and she said, she recognized him, because God had shown her by the Holy Spirit an image of his face years earlier. And so she just kept praying for that person. Kept praying for that person. And then she didn't know what was happening, but God saved him. And then she got to meet him. And she was undone. She's like, you're the person I've been praying for. That then melted his heart, realizing that someone he'd never met, didn't know him, wasn't related to, had been praying for him in the Spirit. You know, we can do that. We could ask God, Holy Spirit, would you put a face in my heart, a person to pray for? Give me a family. Give me a name. Give me a nation. Give me a neighborhood, and we can begin praying, and there's no distance in the Spirit, right? So there's angels who are looking for things to do. I remember Bob Jones used to say that to me. He used to say this, there are angels who are looking for things to do. And what they're waiting for, just as we were talking about earlier, is for us to engage with the Spirit in requesting God to do things. And when we do, it says, Jesus said it, if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it. Right? So there's a waiting for us to make requests. And our requests have power for God to engage with that prayer and to send whatever's needed. To release, to help. And since there's no space in the Spirit, the other part of the world, the other side of the world, is no problem to pray for someone in a North Korean prison. And God can touch them and help them right now. We can leverage our time and freedom and what God has given to us in the Spirit to pray, but also to give. As Jesus was saying in Matthew 25, when we give, and that's one reason we do this water ministry, hydrating humanity, and giving water on the other side of the planet. We're giving water, clean drinking water, to those who are thirsty. Then we can give clothing, we can do so many other things. Paulo, could you come on up? I think you are here close by. There he is. I want to introduce my friend Paulo. You've seen him before up here. He is Brazilian, he's from Brazil. He's a missionary to the United States from Brazil, but he goes to our church with his wonderful family, and he's also involved in a mission organization, and their focus is, and some of this, the video that you saw, is part of a ministry that helps reach the persecuted people. So I wanted him to be up here to share with us, and we're gonna pray together, so.
Thank you, Matt. Good morning, church. I just wanted to share five little prayer points and some stories about the persecuted church. I've been a missionary with Moore International since 2013, 2014, and we've had the privilege of working with persecuted Christians all over the world. And just this Friday, our missionary in the Middle East contacted us. There's a community of Copt Christians that we work with. If you don't know who the Copt Christians are, back in 2014, there was a big news that made it all over the place where ISIS lined up about 20 guys on the beach and beheaded all of them. most of those guys are from the same Copt village. So we've been working with them ever since. We actually know some of these families personally. And this Friday, as they were driving back from a prayer retreat, this church, their bus was attacked. And 7 people were killed, 12 people were injured. And as soon as it happened, our missionary called and said, "Hey, we just heard about this, please start praying." So that's one of the things I would like to invite you guys to pray. Just happened a couple days ago. A few months back, we had a partner organization reach out to us about a family in Pakistan where they had threatened the dad because he had become a Christian. In Pakistan, you can't convert to Christianity. You can be a Christian, but you can't become a Christian. But he had become one, and he said, you know, either you deny Jesus or we're going to have to kill you. And they're like, this is pretty extreme. We got to get him out. They are threatening his family. So at the time, we had enough funds to fly just the dad to Brazil. So we were like, we can fly you to Brazil, hide your family. Let's start the asylum process, and we'll start fundraising to bring your family over. And as soon as he hid the family, he got there where, you know, we've been doing the visa process, which takes a while. And his son got abducted. They kidnapped his son, and when they were doing it, they told the mom and his daughter, tell him that he has 3 days. It's his life or his son's life. So they contacted us in Brazil. We were fundraising to bring the whole family, and at the time, we were like, okay, let's just, you know, what are we going to do? And the dad said, I need to go for my family. So we got all the money that we had fundraised. We bought him a ticket back to Pakistan that same night. And we started praying with just our friends and missionaries all over the world. And to some extent, I have to say, I thought that was it. I was like, this is it. The guy's not coming back. He got there. He exchanged himself for his son. And we kept on praying for the family. How are we going to start fundraising this whole thing again? It's really expensive to buy 5 tickets out of Pakistan. So we just, you know, kept on thinking through. And 4 days later, the daughter calls us and she's like, my dad is home. My dad is home. He's alive. So we you know, managed to get in touch with him. And the first thing he said, he's like, tell the family I'm okay. And we asked him, like, why, you know, what happened? He was tortured. They beat him. He wouldn't deny Jesus. So they said, you need to get out of this village. We don't want to see you again. This is your last chance. And he said, when I was in Brazil for the first time in my life, I felt like I had a family of believers. I was a new Christian. I didn't know what it meant to have a family of, you know, of people that believed the same thing with me. And for the first time, I felt that. So I knew I was going to be okay, even if my life was going to end. So I want us to pray for Jay. I can't say his name, but we call him Jay. And just, he's hidden in a village in northern Pakistan right now. We're fundraising to bring his entire family to Brazil, where we have a hosting program. In Pakistan, at the border with Thailand, and many people don't know this, there are entire prisons full with Christians, children, mothers, parents, they're just packed. And what happens is the few Pakistani that are able to get out of Pakistan, once their passport expires, the Pakistani government won't renew it for Christians. On your passport in Pakistan, it actually says your official religion. You have to state your religion on your passport. So whenever the government sees that you're Christian, they won't renew it for you, so you become illegal. And the Thailand government will target these illegal Christians and put them in prison, saying that it's because they are illegal. So the UN doesn't recognize that as religious persecution. It just recognizes that an illegal status. But what they don't say is that they do renew Muslim passports. They just don't renew it for Christians. But there are entire prisons packed with refugees. We work with about 50 families. About 3 weeks ago, we had 25 of them that were arrested because of this status, and they can't get a job, they can't do anything. Basically, their lives are stuck in this limbo. So I'd like to invite us to pray for that. Pray for Egypt, pray for Pakistan, pray for Jay. We have some cases in Colombia that we work up in the mountains with the drug cartels where these Christians will basically show up with a backpack, and the drug cartels will drive them out of the mountains where the drugs are planted. And once you hit Bogota and big cities, you have mega churches, and these people are not even aware that there's persecution in their country. All they know is that you can't go up the mountains. Just don't go up the mountains, and you can be a Christian. But we have, and we work with families in these mountain situations where they'll kill the entire family and leave one alive to tell the story. And they say, now you go and you get out of here. So we have a lot of orphans and just people who don't have any family. So if you guys could pray for that as well in Colombia. And the last thing that I want to share with you guys is just the situation in China. It's been getting worse for the past few months. I know you might have heard of it here and there. Basically, the government is cracking down on non-government approved churches. If you have a government approved church, you can preach the Bible that the government gives you, which is tweaked. It's changed. They take out some verses, they take out some books. And as long as you stay within those Bible verses, you can be a government approved Christian. If you choose to read the full Bible, they will persecute you. They will take you away. And so it's been getting a lot worse. About 6 months ago, we had a pastor from North Carolina that we took to our base in Thailand. And he had to have a layover in China for a few days as he was flying there. And we took him to see one of these underground churches. And as he was there, he sat on the floor to get his shoes tied. And he put his Bible right next to him. And as soon as he did that, there were two people that came out running out of the church, grabbed the Bible, and started just cleaning it up. And he said, what happened? He's like, you just put your Bible on the floor. The most valuable thing we have, no one in this church has a Bible, and you just put yours on the floor. And he hadn't realized that just the act of putting the Bible next to him to get his shoes tied meant an offense to them just because of how important and valuable they had it. They have what we call a Bible ceremony once a month where they'll go deep into the forest, and what will happen is there's one Bible for that entire community, and one family gets to keep that Bible for the whole month. So they'll do a ceremony of passing on the Bible to the other family. And one of our missionaries was in one of these ceremonies, and he didn't really understand what it was. And he just saw that there was half of the church crying a lot, and then there was this one family that was jumping in joy. And he's like, this looks so weird. What is going on? And he realized that the church was crying because this one family wasn't going to have the Bible for another 3 years, because all the other families in the church was going to have the Bible for that month. And this other family had been waiting for 3 years to have the Bible. So they were jumping with joy. And the dad was saying, you know, hey, I quit my job for the next month. We're just going to stay home all day. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to read this book. And we have access. I mean, I think I have 5 or 10 Bibles at home. And we don't realize how valuable and how important it is. So just pray for that. So those are the few things I'd like to invite the church to pray about today. Just going over it again, Pakistan, the situation with refugees in Thailand, the Coptic Christian bus in Egypt that happened this Friday, the situation in the mountains in Colombia, and the church in China. So I'd like to invite Matt just to engage the church in prayer. If you'd like to know more stories like this, we work with this on a daily basis. I was brought to the U.S. to share this story with the American church as much as we can. So it's just an opportunity to share with you guys that we're one body. There is no them. There's just us as the church.
And as we pray, let's just take a couple of minutes and pray together, if you would. At the same time, I'd like to ask you to also, we want to give. We want to do two things. Let's pray and let's give. So I want to receive a second offering. And this is just going to be for their organization as they are touching and helping the people we're about to pray for around the world. So if this is on your heart to give, to be a part of reaching out to other brothers and sisters on the other side of the planet, the ushers will come by here shortly with some buckets. And you can also give. If you give right now with the app, there should be a missions You can scroll down to missions, and all that will go toward that as well. So let's pray. Why don't you pray and let me agree with you?
Jesus, we come before you, God, and we just thank you for the freedoms and the liberties you've given us, the American church. God, we just raise to you the suffering church and the persecuted church around the world. God, let us not forget our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted for their faith. I raise to you, Jesus, this Coptic village in northern Egypt. God, I pray for these families that have lost, some have lost their sons, their brothers, their cousins, years back when ISIS took some of their family members, and now they've lost more family. God, I pray that we would learn from their resilience and we would learn from their faith, but also that we would that they would know that there is a family that's praying and supporting them across the world. God, I pray for Jay and for his family, for his son, for his daughter. I pray, God, that you would keep them in northern Pakistan, that they would know that their family, not just in Brazil and all over the world, that they have a family that cares for them and that's praying for them and that we're working hard to get them out of there. I pray that you would increase their faith as they look to you, Jesus, as their only support and only source of strength, God. I pray for the church in Colombia. I pray, Jesus, that you would make the church in the city see what's going on in the mountains, that they would wake up, Jesus, and that they would be the answer to their own people. I pray that you would soften the hearts of the drug lords, of the drug cartel, that they would look to you, God, as the answer and not to just money and riches and not just power, God. I pray that you would help us to be aware that that these people have lost everything because they love you, Jesus. I pray for our brothers in China. Yes. And I pray for the situation of the church there. God, that you would bring conviction to the hearts of that government, to the hearts of the system, that they would realize that they're corrupting your word, Jesus, by creating these monster government-approved churches that don't preach your gospel. That the underground church would continue to thrive, God, as they rejoice in your word. That they would that we would learn to value who you are, Jesus, as they do. And I pray that you would touch the hearts of the American church, Jesus. Mm-hmm. That yes. With all of the generosity and resources you've given them, that you would also awaken their hearts with your fire, Jesus, with who you are, God. That they would not only think that by giving is they've done their job or they've done their role, but that they would engage in prayer and, yes, and truly connecting, yes, with your church around the world. Yes, Lord. We love you, Jesus, and we look to you for all things. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I just think of the 300 people that you used with Gideon to win a huge battle against tens of thousands. It seemed impossible. I think of the 300 Moravians in Herrnhut that became the missionaries around the world that helped change the world, Lord. And I think of the 300 here right now as we pray, you can do anything. You can move in power in any place, Lord, and I just agree with all those prayers that Paulo just prayed for those individuals, and Lord, we also just ask for nations to change, for leaders, national leaders to get saved. I ask that you would appear to them, Jesus, that you would win their hearts, that you would convict them of sin, that you'd reveal yourself to them, that the persecutors would get saved. Those in prisons right now who are persecuting believers, win their hearts, Lord. I pray that you would show up in dreams, show up in person, change them, Lord. And may your continued move of your spirit happen throughout all of the earth. And Lord, I ask that you'd strengthen those who are being persecuted, that you would give them strength, that you'd give them courage, that you'd give them boldness, that you'd give them such a strength in their soul that they would not back up and they would not give in. Help them to see their great reward. Lord, I ask that you'd help them. Lord, I ask that you'd bring together families that have been separated. Bring together families that have been separated. Lord, ease the hunger pains of those who are being starved to death, those who are being tortured. I ask that you'd ease their pain and help them, comfort them. And Lord, I also ask in Jesus' name for all of us here that you would put people in our hearts and minds to pray for, that you would give us a tribe, a nation, a leader, someone in prison, someone, Lord, to pray for, to engage with you in releasing heaven their way. In the name of Jesus, Lord, may we be these people who are so in love with you that everything that you're in love with jumps in our heart as well. And we begin to love the very things that you love, the people that you love, even in greater ways than we have already. Lord, I ask that it would just grow. May that grow in us. And Father, thank you that we get to meet these that we're praying for. On the other side, thank you for what you're doing around the earth, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we get to be a part. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If we could go ahead and pass the buckets. All of this will go toward more ministry. And how do people find out more about more? MoreUSA.org. If you're interested in their ministry or being a part, giving to them. And all this will go to them, and it's going to touch a lot of people. After the buckets pass you by and you give, we've got ministry teams that are up here. We also have prophetic teams. So if you'd like to receive some encouraging ministry, in addition to people praying for you and touching you, laying hands on you, we also have people who will speak encouraging words over your life. And that will be out up in the loft, I believe. Unless that's changed, is that right? In the third classroom, okay. So actually, the classroom where the men have the Bible study each Sunday, the nursing mother's room, this room works for everything. You also have prophetic teams in there today, so you can go back there as well. Really appreciate all of you. Thank you for being here. May you have an awesome week. Don't forget to vote. If you haven't voted yet, make sure you vote. And vote for the right person too, by the way. While you're at it, go ahead and ask the Holy Spirit, who am I supposed to vote for? Let's thank you, Lord. We want our country to be on the right track and to do all that we're supposed to do. We want it to continue with its flourishing and ability to touch the nations. Bless you guys. Have a wonderful day, and feel free to receive some ministry. And don't forget your kids. All right, see ya. Bye.